I'm Volker Reusing. I'm from Unser Politik Blog. It's a non-profit internet blog. We're making interviews and we make articles on Unser Politik Blog. We're from Germany. The three main issues here at this conference, I think Bilderberg is mostly about finances, about economics, about foreign and safety policy. So I think it's certainly the Brexit is interesting to them. Also what they are going to do with Russia and China. And they have big, I think they have a big issue about the America and its debt and what I think when the debt bubble will crash, burst in the USA, I think that's probably an issue there. I think something which now has become very actual, although it is connected more with the Bilderberg Conference 2011, Bilderberg has often invited EU commissioners, and in 2011, the then EU Internet Commissioner, Nelly Kroes, has been there, and one of the issues has been the diffusion of power because of connectivity. And between the Bilderberg Conferences, 2011 and 2012, in January 2012, a draft EU data protection regulation has been introduced. It's this file number 2011/00COD. It's about, it pretends to be about data protection, but it's more about a censorship. If you publish then, after it's enacted, and now it has been enacted, I think it has been in April this year, if you publish something in the internet, if you make an interview, you do not only have to ask the person you make the interview with, and you do not only have to ask the person about whom you publish something in the internet, and it's not only the internet, with all automatic and half-automatic things you use to make an interview. Also, if you print a book or if you make a newspaper, a printed one, then you have also to ask a data protection, and I would like to add, and a censorship authority, which is under the control in two steps below the EU Commission, not below the national government. And you have to make an assessment, a data protection assessment. It's really about data protection, but it's also about what will your data protection or your reporting, it's inside the definition of data protection, which effects will it have? And so if you don't make such a data protection impact assessment, or if they think it's not sufficient, they can impose fines up to 20 million euros. And so everyone who publishes something on the internet and whose data protection assessment they do not consider as sufficient, they can impose such a fine, up to 20 million euros. So it will lead, if they, now that it has been concluded, if they really apply it, they can, with only one fine, they can financially ruin every voice that you don't like. Certainly, there are so many things published that couldn't, will never be able to catch anyone, but they will be able to pick out the people they don't like. It's a very existential threat to independent media, but it's also a very existential threat to politicians who are courageous. They can pick out the politicians they like if they run for elections and publish something on the internet. And even if the person they name there say, yes, publish on me what you want, they can say, the data protection authority, where is your data protection impact assessment, and can ruin any political party they want or any politician they want. So it's all in the name of data protection. That is, since April this year, it's a very, very urgent thing to make this well known, also that they don't come through with that. It's very existential. It threatens all independent media. First, they are more endangered than anyone else, but also independent politicians of any color.
Why do you think they're doing that?
I think it's to calm down people who say things that they don't want. And they will silence people who are very courageous, and that to make sure that other people are intimidated.
Now, you know, it sounds to me like a knife in the heart of a free press.
Yes, certainly, certainly. They do it in order to put through certain agendas and to ruin people financially whenever they become too dangerous.
Would you like to speculate on what those agendas are?
Well, if I look at the Bilderberg Conference 2011, one point on their agenda has also been where they have stated more metaphors, but I'm sure that it has focused on the ESM, the so-called European Stability Mechanism. It's a forced mechanism with the Troika, and that mechanism contains a state insolvency procedure. State insolvency procedure, they have hidden it in Article 12, Paragraph 3, ESM Treaty. It's only included that all countries which have the currency euro have to attach to their state debts collective action clauses. And they have not published what is in those collective action clauses, but for the ESM, several laws in Germany have been changed. Also, the law in Germany on the public debt management, in German Bundesschuldenwesengesetz. And into the law on the public debt management, the Bundesschuldenwesengesetz, they have inserted the articles 4a to 4k. And if you read those articles, then you see there's a certain date. And the debts have to be told to a court in Frankfurt. Private creditors have to tell to this court the debts of Germany or the demands they have to Germany at this certain date. And it's like a private insolvency procedure. And then you have assembly of the private creditors, and they can make decisions to change the collective action clauses. So they can say, okay, we reduce the interest rate on the debts, or we reduce the nominal value of the debts, but they will want something in exchange. That will be privatization. Where do I know it from? Several persons have said that they want the ESM to speed up privatization. To find, for example, in an article, I think it has been from July or August, of the Deutsche Wirtschaftsnachrichten, where Markus Kerber, who is General Secretary of the big industrial NGO, BDI, Bund Deutscher Industrie, talked about the ESM and that it should be used to speed up privatization, and that the states should give their property as a security for the event that they go bankrupt.
Many people would say that Greece is insolvent now.
Well, the normal thing to do if a state is insolvent then is not to make a state insolvency procedure, but that the state is obliged to talk with all its creditors, and then if they don't come to an appointment, then the state has to decide itself, because the state is sovereign. And the standard according to which any state bankruptcy has to be made, the standard are the human rights which are applicable in that state. Of the human rights treaties the state has ratified, and particularly in the national constitution of the respective state. For example, where they wanted to make a global ESM, the debt crisis of Argentina has been the pretext, and where they wanted to fool the people, the countries of the G77, and they have asked for the UN to make a global state insolvency procedure. But then they have been informed what is going on in Europe, and how the people in Europe have been fooled, and that is for total privatization. And then they have concluded something else. At September the 10th of 2015, the states, 136 states, don't want a global ESM, but they have said, okay, if the state and its creditors do not find a compromise, then the state has to decide itself. And they have concluded 8 standards on which to do that. And one standard, at least, is to respect human rights. It means to make the human rights situation not worse than it is before the state bankrupt. That's very protective for the poor and inhabitants and people who need health services. And
if this privatization goes forward, it looks like it may well go forward, who will end up owning what is now our national governments?
Well, the national governments will remain where they are. Also, the parliaments will remain where they are. And the public tasks will remain where they are. But all other tasks will be done by private firms. They have smuggled it into Article 2 of Protocol 26 to the treaties of the EU. Since the Lisbon Treaty, from an EU law perspective, all EU member countries are obliged to let's do even all sovereign tasks by private firms. And they have not done it very far because of the Constitutional Court decision, of the German Constitutional Court decision from June the 30th of 2009, the Lisbon judgment. The Lisbon judgment has said, okay, you can enact the Lisbon Treaty, but only with, they have made a long list of provisions where the limits are of its implementation. And they have prohibited the privatization of police, of military, and also of any civil services which are sovereign. They have prohibited all this privatization of the sovereign tasks, but it's binding only for Germany. And later on, they have made the same constitutional court, but without the relatively courageous Professor Dr. Di Fabio, who has been then the rapporteur in the Lisbon case. He has been more courageous and more for the German basic law. Now we have a very much different direction with Professor Peter Michael Huber as a rapporteur for constitutional complaints with a focus on international law or EU law. And we have a president of the Constitutional Court who is very much in favor of privatization of sovereign tasks. You find a proof of that. He has spoken at the Vereinigung Deutscher Staatsrechtslehrer. It's a professional association of Jura professors with a focus on state law. He has spoken there in October 2002, and the title of his then speech is Leistungsgrenzen des Verfassungsrechts. It means that you cannot do everything from a constitutional law perspective. And he has made a speech in favor of a privatization, functional privatization of sovereign tasks, to let it be remain sovereign tasks, but to have it done by private firms. And in thesis number 12 of his then speech, he has said that our constitutional order, even from its very basics on, is not open for a mix between a private and sovereign power. He has admitted that it's totally unconstitutional. But then, when we have made the ESM Constitutional Court decision at March the 18th of 2014, then they have said, I must add something, what they have done in the Lisbon judgment. They have said that the highest law in Germany is that what is inviolable, where you must not interfere in any way. And inviolable is complete human dignity and other four structure principles: democracy, rule of the law, social state principle, and federalism. And so the most important thing is certainly democracy and human dignity. And when they have made the ESM decision, they have said, okay, we define a core of the core and we only apply in relation to EU law only democracy and the basic right to vote. No human dignity, no life. And also not the prescription which prohibits privatization of a sovereign task. It's also a basic right that this is not allowed. And they have not applied it. And so have waved through the ESM, which also wants the privatization of the sovereign tasks. Without Judge Professor Dr. Di Fabio, they have done that. They have waved it through.
So look, it does sound as if all of our governments around Europe are under threat, maybe except for the German government, because there are some guarantees of non-privatization of the core functions of the government.
Well, in Germany, we have the so-called function reservation. It's a basic right, and which shall protect the people from arbitrariness. And the function reservation means that basically sovereign tasks may only be done by people who have sworn on our basic law and who are directly employed by the state, so that private power and private profit interests are completely out of the execution of sovereign tasks. And this has been included in the basic law very intentionally. We have had very bad experiences in a dictatorship where the government has mixed with IG Farben Corporation. And it's very bad that now, from a neoliberal view, people want to commission private firms with nearly all sovereign tasks. There's also a connection to Bilderberg. Even one can say it's indirect. The president of our Constitutional Court, Professor Dr. Voskuhle, he is not only president of the Constitutional Court, but he also is a Jura professor at the University of Freiburg. And there's an NGO which is furthering the work of the University of Freiburg. And there are several prominent people. And among those prominent people is also José Manuel Barroso, who has been the president of the EU Commission during the whole time when these four mechanisms with the Troika have been made, with the ESM as the gravest of them because of the state insolvency procedure. And also Dr. Wolfgang Schäuble, also a Bilderberger, he is now here. And Dr. Wolfgang Schäuble has been at Bilderberg in 2003, I think then at that time regarding inner security. And he's a very important financial minister that these things like ESM have put in place. And my wife, I would like to mention my wife and I, we have made constitutional complaints regarding these things like ESM. Against the third of those mechanisms, it's called EFSF. There's a law in Germany, it has been changed two times. We have made constitutional complaints against all versions of that. And three complaints about ESM, because three laws in Germany have been made for that. One about changing the law on the public debt management, where they have made sure for Germany the state insolvency procedure that is not only in the collective action clauses. And the worst of it is one prescription with only two sentences. The first sentence is about the stability of the euro area as a whole. We have proven that this is only a metaphor for the financial stability of the financial sector. And it means to save the banks. All these mechanisms are made to save the banks, particularly in their role as creditors of the states. And the second sentence of Article 136, paragraph 3, says if financial aids are given in these mechanisms, then they have to be connected to strict obligations. We have looked how strict is this meant, and we have found how strict it is meant. You find it at two places. In one, it's a preamble of EFSF, strict as toward Greece. It's an incentive to be very strict to Greece in order to be able to be very strict to the other countries. And you find it in a statement of the financial and the economical ministers from May the 9th of 2010. They want the conditions which are imposed on the states to be as strict as in the practice of the IMF. You find it as under file number SN2564/1/10. And there you find that statement of them.
So where can we find your work on the internet?
You find it at unser-politik blog, that's our blog. And from there is also a link to the 718 pages main complaint we have made about the ESM. They have not decided on that. I can imagine, because with our complaints they would have had not only to strengthen the human dignity of the German basic law, but also to apply the social human rights we have invoked of the UN Social Pact, and to make that the standard for state bankruptcy and not this completely inhuman strictness of the IMF. So if we go bankrupt, we will feel the strictness of the IMF and not the basic rights and human rights we have. And there are several connections to Bilderberg, particularly regarding Mr. Barroso and Mr. Voskuhle. I also could mention a connection between Dr. Hertha Däubler-Gmelin, who has been at Bilderberg Conference 1989, where they have spoken to about giving sovereignty to the EU by means of a currency or economics, and her connection to Professor Dr. Peter Michael Huber, who have been in the same NGO.